This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everybody. Good night. This is Jeff Copper, your host, Attention Talk Radio, and this is Attention Talk Radio. Today is Wednesday, October the 23rd in the year 2013 at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and we've got a spectacular show tonight. Our topic, We Plus ADHD, Creating Great Relationships. And with us in our virtual studio is Rick and Ava Green, which I'm very excited. We interview all kinds of people on this particular show, mental health professionals and those in the trenches, and I think our guests are particularly qualified to speak to this topic. They have ADHD as a couple. They work with it every day. They're not necessarily mental health professionals, but they are at Totally ADHD, which has done a couple documentaries and some other things that we'll talk about in a second, and they've interviewed some experts, so they are exceptionally well-educated. They live this topic every day, and we're looking for some great insights. Before we get into the details, the CHAD conference is around the corner, at least their annual conference. It's November 7th to the 9th. I know that I'm flying in. I think I get in like noon on the 7th, and I'm looking forward to the weekend's worth of activities. I encourage you, if you are impacted by ADHD, to go to this conference, catch your tribe. It's an amazing experience. For our listeners out there, if you've never been, I encourage you to go to attentiontalkvideo.com. We released a video, I think it was October the 9th. It's a little long. It's about 30 minutes, but it's actually interviews of volunteers, attendees, and speakers at last year's conference that was in San Francisco, and a very special CHAD conference entitled 25 Years of Making a Difference. So just know that that's there. If you want to learn more about the event, go to their website at chadd.org. At the top is a little tab, Annual Conferences. Go to that. It'll give you everything you need to know. I know there's still room available, so please check that out. Let's see. I think that's all the announcements, so let's get into it. Rick Green out there, many of you, in the universe, if you will, he might be better known as Bill the Bumbling Outdoorsman on the PBS long-running series The Red Green Show. But I think for our listening audience, he's obviously better known as the co-creator of two groundbreaking documentaries on adult ADHD. The first, ADD and Loving It, which has earned critical acclaim, awards, and kudos from experts, doctors, and adults struggling with ADHD. And then the sequel, ADD and Mastering It, which is now running on PBS and promises to transform how 7 to 9 million Americans deal with the subtle saboteur that is ADHD. The second film is quirky, funny, fascinating, and full of strategies that work for people with ADHD. The show was all pulled together back in 2009 between Rick and Ava, and when the documentary was released, they realized that there would be thousands of undiagnosed adults that were looking for helps and tips. So the two of them created Totally ADD, the website, which has got hours of videos, full information from experts. They're funny. They're fascinating. They got webinars. I would suggest you listen to the one on sports and exercising personally. But enough of that said. Let's talk about Ava for a second. She's an accomplished video editor and television producer. Both these roles showcase her creativity, people skills, and ability to juggle dozens of things at once. Her vast experience include everything from Broadway musicals to live wrestling, garden shows, and the Red Green Show. Her experience and commitment were crucial in bringing both ADHD and Loving It and ADD and Mastering It to fruition. As a co-producer and editor, it was Ava who created the core message: you can't love ADD, but you can have ADD and love life. Because Ava is married to Rick and mother to a grandson with ADD, she understands the challenges that face families dealing with being different. Small wonder, everyone says, I feel like I've known you forever. It's been said about Ava is the heart of totally ADD. With that together, I do know this is very commonly when you understand the Greens and you understand Ava, everybody goes, I need an Ava. And I know Rick is very thankful to have her around, so I probably could go on for another half hour on the bio, but we're going to kind of move into the meat of the show because we've got to learn. So with that, Ava and Rick, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Great to be here. It's a real pleasure.
Now, you know, Rick, you've been on the show a couple times, which is great, but I'm excited. This is the first time we've had Ava on. And I can't wait because she's like the mastermind. Kind of reminds me of the Wizard of Oz, the person behind the screen that actually makes everything happen. So it kind of makes me think that you're a puppet sometimes.
I'm the silent partner.
But Ava is the one. Yeah, we'll probably talk a little bit about this, about that. You know, that opposites do attract, but. Ava has, you know, is creative as well, and in the editing process can take huge amounts of my verbiage and transform it into something coherent and actually help me figure out what it is that I may be trying to say. And then, of course, has her own abilities as well. So it's, it is, you know, you mentioned the range of stuff we worked on, and Ava was the editor on every episode of Red Green except one, and it was a show about men, and there were no women on the show. But, of course, the joke was, if you look at the credits, it was women who were making it happen behind the scenes.
Well, let's put the Today Show in perspective. I'm very excited about this because this is Attention Talk Radio. We pay attention to attention. And one of the cool things about this is that, Rick, you and I did a show about a month ago talking about the anatomy of a story and the power of a story and how so much of the way we interact and see the world is based on the context of the stories that we tell ourselves. And the genesis of this interview came in Detroit when I was watching you guys give a presentation on this related topic. And one of the things that really struck me, and I think really I want to start the show with it, is the notion of when you get married, you always live happily ever after, and that's the way, the story that you kind of think of. But you guys talked about, well, maybe it's not happily ever after. It's happier ever after. Can you speak to that notion of it's not happily ever after, it's happier ever after, and how that shifts what you're paying attention to?
Yeah, I think, you know, you look at what we, the situation we have. You know, we've made comedy. We have... we're married and happy. We have friends. We were actually friends with each other before we fell in love. We've made these documentaries that have changed millions of lives. The website Totally ADD is just hums with people sharing with each other, ADHD adults, you know, who've just discovered a week ago, and people who've been at it for 10 years sharing. And as you said, you know, we've interviewed all of these experts. I think we're up to 60 different experts now that we've spoken to, authors, doctors, researchers, you name it, you know, to form all of the videos that we're doing, and that's kind of ongoing. And in some ways, it's really become our life's focus now. So, you know, you can look at it and go, this is, well, happily ever after. And then you also have to find out that it's the second marriage for each of us. We've both been through divorces. We've had financial struggles. At one point, we had 7 deaths in the family in 18 months, friends and families. We've had to move 4 times in 4 years for various reasons. The first one by choice, and I guess you could say, well, we've moved a lot. This will be our 5th Christmas in a different house. So stuff goes up, stuff goes down, problems come, and the happy will come and go, but the goal for us is happier each year, that things are deeper, more profound. And I think, as you know, I've read that when you're in your 40s, you're actually happier than you were at any age, 40s and 50s. You just get happier because you let go of stuff, and I think that's really happening for us.
And I love, that's a beautiful segue, Jeff, about, you know, we all have a story of what a relationship should be. And we all make up stories about who our partner should be. And when we stop seeing evidence of that, we want to hold on to that story. We don't, you know, we don't create a new story, or we don't look for a better meaning. And that starts to kill that relationship.
The same thing, something, you know, even with ADHD, you look at the idea of impulsivity, which is considered a challenge. You know, it's part of the disorder, impulsivity, because it's uncontrolled. You flip it around and go spontaneous. Well, yeah, they're fun to be around. They're willing to, you know, when someone says, you know what, you should turn this bakery into a pizzeria, somebody who's compulsive rather than impulsive will spend 5 years analyzing it. The impulsive will go, you know what? Nobody's buying the donuts and the pizza in this, and there's a lot of Italians in this town. Whatever, right? So, it's that there are strengths and weaknesses in it. That you can label things good, bad, or indifferent,
and you can view them that way too. That what starts out being a trait that you love can often become a trait that you really, it starts to wear on you. But it's just your perspective that's changed. Nothing has actually changed in the situation often.
Yeah, and then there's the whole, like, wedding, you know, what are, every television show has to have a love story in it. The only show that I think doesn't or didn't was the Red Green show. It was actually, there weren't even women on the show, but there was this love story, which was, you know, Red was happily married. And so there was this, but television shows, we want a romance, we want the love story, you know, and as we talked about last month, it was, even in the newsroom, it's what's the story here? Story is what grabs us and how we make sense of the world, and it's been that way since the beginning of time. You know, the early cave paintings, there's a lot of evidence that there actually were the story. They were telling the story of what happened at the hunt, and they were using it to educate, and stories are, you know, the stories in the Bible are how you pass on all of the morality and the wisdom and so on. So the story is everywhere, but with romance, with marriage, love story, it's huge. And even around a wedding, the amount of story that gets created, what it's got to look like, how it, the day is going to unfold, it's structured. It's so, you know, people are adamant that it goes a certain way. And it leads into these, you know, where that leads into is expectations that, you know, what Ava was saying, that you have this belief about the person, you expect them to do certain things, and when they don't, especially if they have ADHD and neither of you know what's going on, you're not going to say, maybe he tunes out because we are actually in a noisy restaurant and it's really difficult for him because there's four TVs behind me that are drawing his attention and there's all this noise in the restaurant and he's low on certain neurotransmitters like dopamine and norepinephrine. No, you're going to say, I guess the magic's over, and you're going to clam up and stop talking.
So, to reframe this a little bit is, because we have a lot of concepts that are kind of going on here. To me, you get married, and what I love about, you can pay attention to happily ever after, like it's going to be this bliss and kind of going on, or happier ever after, like it's going to be a journey. And I know this for, I bring it up all the time. The night before my wife and I got married, we got together, we were at the rehearsal dinner, it was about time for her to go, and I walked over and I said, you sure you want to do this thing tomorrow? And she said, well, yeah, I do. And I said, are you sure? I said, this will be the most difficult thing you've ever done in your life. A year later, after we got married, she said, you're right, this is the most difficult thing you've ever done in your life. And I say that because it's a journey, not a process, and the thing about the way you look at it, if you look at it as happier ever after, that's a story. If you have to say it's happier ever after, that's a story. But the way you tell the story shifts your expectations. And Ava, a second ago, you talked about perspective. I use the word kind of context. But I think that one of the powerful things about you guys is I want to get to is when you get into marriage, and we're not talking about ADHD, yes, is the story you're telling yourself, is it's done, it's happily ever, it's always going to be this thing, or is it happier ever after, and is it really about adjusting your expectations moving forward and dealing with ADHD. Ava, can you comment on that?
Absolutely. So, yes, the context is everything. So when you look at, you know, your context for the relationship, we so rarely do that. We look at, you know, the other person and mostly the other person and whether or not they're fitting into that slot that we've chosen for them. And so when you look at the context for your relationship versus, you know, who that person is and what they're doing and not doing, it's a whole different ball game. And you know, when you could, when you speak it actually, you know, to the other person and say, you know, my context or what I want from this relationship is, then you have something you can work on together rather than this unspoken.
You should be doing this. You should be doing that. You're not doing this.
Right, which is all negativity, and it's all focused on what's right or wrong about the other person usually.
Yeah, and a very simple way to look at it is people will make a list of what they want. You know, you could still do it. What do you want in your ideal partner physically? What would it be like? And, you know, as Ava jokes, having white hair or gray hair probably wasn't at the top of her list.
On my list.
No, whereas blonde was on mine, so that was interesting. So I won there, apparently. But it's, you go through the, what are the traits that this person's got, sensitive and honest and this and funny and so on and so on. And then, and as a quick side note there, do you want to mention the thing that science says about humor, Ava?
Yeah, so on my list, I wanted someone who was smart and funny. And it turns out a lot of women like funny men, I hear. You know, that's great. But there was a study that was done that shows that once you partner with somebody, you no longer want them to be funny. They've shown the physiology, and it's because you are threatened then by other people or other women specifically who find your man funny and are attracted to them. So it stops being a trait that you want in the other person.
Yeah, settle down and behave. And, you know, with ADHD, that ain't ever going to happen. So you've got this list of traits, you know, this list of what you want in the person. And what we do in our workshop is we then get people to list what they want and what you would do together or what they would do for you and so on. And then we say, now, list all of the faults and annoying things and bad habits you want them to have. And there's this laughter, and then it's like, oh, you thought you were going to marry someone perfect because you're perfect. And it just stops people up cold. That's, you know, at the end of a year or two of marriage, things start shifting. They actually change physiologically. When you're in the first few years, you kiss someone, it gives you, your body gets chemicals that are for, like, joy, excitement. When, after 2 years, physiologically, you tend to release, when you kiss, more chemicals that give you a feeling of safety, comfort, and so on. It's very, like, physiologically, this is what's happening to us, right? But that's okay, because now you've got this, you can still find the others, you can still stir those chemicals up, the exciting ones, but you've also got something deeper. And what I think happens, and what Ava and I have been talking about in the workshop that you saw, is the idea that there is what Rick wants. There's three people in the relationship, or three partners. There's Rick, there's Ava, and there's the relationship. And so people have a list of what they want in the other person. Well, that just cuts you off from someone who could make you very happy. Whereas if you have a list of the characteristics, the traits, the things that you want in a relationship, well, heck, you can also get that from some of your friends, a lot of that stuff. You may even say, what do I want in my life? And therefore, my partner doesn't have to give me every aspect of this. Because very often, I think women especially, and Ava can talk a bit about this, but women expect the man to sort of be there for them for everything, almost like their best friend, a woman, would be doing all of these things for them. And we're guys, we tend not to do that. So it's looking at the what do you want in a relationship, and those are the what are the values you want. That's crucial, rather than the other person. Because otherwise, you're stuck in physical stuff.
Absolutely. I tell you what, we need to run to a commercial break real quick.
Sure.
When we come back, one of the things that you're kind of talking to that was really the title of the show is We Plus ADD, because there's you, there's Ava, and then there's you as a couple, which is a third entity. And I want to talk about the dynamics of that and how you have to shift the story as a result of some of that stuff a little bit. But before we do, Ava, you got to – first of all, everybody out there, totallyadd.com is a great resource. They've got videos, they've got podcasts, they've got forums, they've got all kinds of stuff. But Ava, you got a special that's running tonight or tomorrow. Can you just tell our listeners about that?
Right. So it's the next 24 hours. If you go to totallyadd.com, you'll see it on the landing page. We're offering our downloadable video called Living with Adult ADD for 30% off. You use a discount code. It's right there on the landing page. You'll see it with the video. That video is specifically about relationships, how to transform your relationships, what ADHD does, how that affects a relationship.
It's a deal you can't afford not to do. Again, that's just go to totallyadd.com, and it's on the landing page, right?
Right. It's called Living with Adult ADD.
And it's chock full of experts. It's Patrick and Janice and all of it. It's great stuff.
Excellent. With that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Attendees and exhibitors are invited to participate in CHAAD's 2013 Annual International Conference on ADHD that will be held November 7th through the 9th at the Hyatt Regency, Arlington, Virginia. Details about the annual conference are available on our new website at chaad.com. Don't miss this chance to become an exhibitor and sponsor at this premier annual event.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We've got Ava and Rick Green in our virtual studio, and our topic, We Plus ADHD, Creating Great Relationships. Before the break, we covered kind of a lot of material, and just to kind of synthesize, at least my takeaway, and to kind of boil this stuff down, is so much of your life, your experience is what you pay attention to. I mean, what you pay attention to actually dictates your experience in life in totality. And a lot of what you're looking at is the story that you're telling yourself. And when you tell yourself a story in a certain way, it kind of creates expectations and the judgment of things in that context. And to put what I just said in context is if you look at getting married and being happier ever after or happily ever after, that changes the way you view, it changes the expectations, and it changes the way you move down that path. So if you view it as happier ever after, then the notion is it's not done. It's a process that you kind of go through to kind of get there. And before the break, Rick was saying some really, really good stuff, and I have to tell you, I'm a CTI-trained coach, and I learned a little bit about coaching relationships. And when you coach relationships, you don't coach the male or the female. You coach this third entity, the relationship, which is the combination of two. And the title of the show is We Plus ADD, because, Ava and Rick, your marriage is not you guys individually. It's actually we, and that's a completely different story than you guys individually. Ava, can you speak to that concept a second?
Sure. So an example would be that when we make big decisions, there are three votes that that go in. So, you know, there's my vote for how we'll handle that situation. There's Rick's vote for how we'll handle that situation. And then the relationship. You know, what is it that is best for the relationship?
What would the relationship want?
Exactly. So I'm just thinking when you're talking about paying attention to that as a coach, that's often the missed component for people. So it's so good to hear that, you know, as a coach, you're paying attention to that, because a lot of couples don't. They hold on to, you know, I want this. And it's you really have to look at really all three sides of the equation, or that relationship's not going to work.
And if I may, this is just my interpretation, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but and I might miss this thing up, but I think you guys have very different Rick is very science-minded, and he might want to go somewhere and go to a bunch of museums, and Ava, you might want to kind of see something differently. And his vote might be one thing, yours might be something else, but at the end of the day, I'm oversimplifying this, but the interpretation of mine is what the relationship wants is to experience something together. And
right, he's a train fanatic, so he loves model trains.
Or real ones.
That's true. Train fanatic, period. So my first choice would not be to spend a day at a train show.
What? I'm outraged. I had no idea. I'm mortified, darling, mortified.
I know. But I go to train shows with him because I love that experience of watching him talk about locomotives.
It's a sad thing in a way.
But, you know, that's for the relationship. That's, you know, that's where I look at, you know, he loves this, I don't. But for the relationship, it doesn't do me any harm to sometimes go to a train show with him.
Yeah, and often you don't. You know, often I go off alone because there's not going to be much conversation. I'm going to be busy doing something. And, you know, and it's not better for the relationship. But then there are those it surprised me when you said you were going to go to the first one because – and I said, are you enjoying this? And you turned to me and said, I'm enjoying that you're enjoying it. And I thought that was a really profound moment for me. That was a real – shift because, you know, certainly with my kids, I'd seen that, you know, watching your kids succeed, you're enjoying that. And there is a relationship there. Can I add something, too, to what you said that may give this some context, too?
Uh-huh.
You know, that between Ava, there's Ava, there's Rick, and there's our relationship. There's also Ava and her mom and their relationship. There's Ava and her brother. And there's a my brother, my children, all of these, we each have these different relationships. And the relationships have different things. What may work for Ava and I together is not what's going to work for Ava and her mom or whatever. So that's part of what we're saying is what works in a professional relationship, what works in a romantic relationship, what works in a parenting relationship. And that's the point, is that there'll be different at different points in a marriage or in a whatever, in any relationship, what is the relationship need at this point?
And what is the context? Getting back to context,
yep.
Again. So
which
absolutely loving and supportive would be a context for our relationship.
Right. And so I'll just add, when Ava says that, you know, if that was one of the things, if that's a thing that we want in our relationship is loving, then Ava isn't just expecting me to provide that. She's coming into the relationship going, how do I provide that? Well, I'm going to the train show, even though it may bore the, you know, and or on the surface, it may seem like something boring to do. So she's focused on that, not on me, but on loving. And that then shows up in the relationship.
And I think that the power of this, and just people are listening to this a little bit and saying, what's kind of going on? But the focus of looking at it as a third party that's kind of coming together and beginning to pay attention to that story and the characteristics of what's going on can be very, very powerful in moving your relationship forward. Because if you just take the selfish, this is what I want, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this, and we should have been happily ever after, that's such a negative story that's insurmountable. But if you turn it to, we're going to work to happier ever after, and what this is really about loving relationship and spending the time together, then you can begin to see your expectations change and you see it in a different way, and it makes for a great relationship. And I just digressing a little bit, I can tell you I don't care for Disneyland at all. I hate it. I live in Florida. I go over there, but I can tell you it completely changed when I went with my kids when they were younger, because I saw it through their eyes, and it was a joy.
Yeah.
Not to be there, but to watch them in that experience. And Ava, that's what I was hearing you, is it wasn't the train. It was irrelevant. It was watching the joy of Rick in that experience that brought you joy. So it's a weird kind of derivative. But, again, you were seeing it as the we. And I think that the message for tonight is if you have ADHD and you're in some relationships, about shifting your focus on the relationship is powerful. So with that, Ava, you want to comment on those comments for a second, and we'll go to Rick and then move on?
Well, just something that came up while you were saying that, which is, you know, if you're always focused on, I want this, I want this, I want this, but there's also an even slipperier slope, which is, I'm going to do this for you, so you better do this for me, which is, you know...
scorekeeping.
Oh, it's so dangerous to do that in a relationship, and you know, it's when you're not focused on the relationship, it's really easy to do that. You know, when it's so easy to slip into, well, you know, I went to the train show, so the least you can do is take me out to dinner or, you know, buy me something or whatever it is that... it is that you want to do to even up that score.
And, you know, I think that in coming to the train show, there was, I just had so much love for, because I knew this was not her first choice, but she was there with me. You know, there were a lot of, I would say 99.9% of the people there were guys. And I was one or two who actually had their wife there. That said something.
It's comedy gold, baby. It's like a whole world.
So, it's brilliant. So, yeah. So there's the thing about it is that in going to that show or doing, and you know, if it's a gardening thing and I'm going along for that, the joy of the love of watching Ava enjoying and knowing all these plants and describing and talking about and appreciating and me listening and just taking it all in. And of course my ADHD, I'm not remembering any of it, but I'm getting, wow, I'm seeing things in a different way. I come to this trip to the gardening show out of love, and the love is there. I'm bringing that to the party. So I think that, you know, when you're looking for something from the other person, you'll never get it, or you may not get it. And in fact, it's not up to anyone else to give it to you. What you do is you bring it yourself to the relationship. You know, if wake up in the morning, if I just bring laughter and teasing and whatever I want to bring to our relationship that morning as Ava wakes up, that starts the day off. If I'm looking for that, and it's, you know, it's early morning and we're both a little tired, it's not there, I'm upset that it's not there. I'm bringing it. So I very often I hear people, the people I know who are universally optimistic, and Ava is one of them and I'm not, but they bring that to everywhere they go. Ava brings that to where she goes, and I'm learning to do that from her. We'll go into a hotel to check in, And I step back, partly because it's a slow process and I get impatient, and I just watch. And Ava will come back and say, we've been upgraded to a room, man. They've given us free breakfast. And that's because Ava just actually goes up and says, how are you? And they say, fine. And then, it's not a, how are you? I'm fine. She actually starts a conversation with them because she's genuinely interested, because she's who she is. And she brings that to every conversation she has. So she brings love to every conversation, whether it's a checkout, you know, the clerk at the hotel, or it's her stepchildren or whatever, it's there. And so what does she get back? If she's coming in with that, she gets to live in that minute by minute by minute, and then I get to live in it as well. So we're waiting for outside events to make us happy. They never will. And, I mean, there's just tons of scientific evidence and firsthand evidence. You want that car, you want that car, you finally got the car you wanted your whole life. A week later, you're arguing, you're stuck in traffic, you're angry, it's just become a set of tires. We very quickly acclimatize to stuff. So, and I could say, look at the greatest moments in your life or in your relationship, the moments that were the most profound. You know, my son said to me once, he said his favorite experience in life is sitting at my mom's cottage playing cards and eating potato chips with the family. And he's, you know, he's traveled, he's done a lot of stuff. That says something. So I think that when you go looking for specific things from the other person, your happiness is now, you know, held hostage by the other person.
Yes.
When you choose to be bringing that constantly to the relationship, letting go of the story and just bringing it, it's a lifesaver. It just is.
And what you're focused on, we often talk about, you know, focusing. If you focus on that you have a messy kitchen, you know, what follows is my partner is a slob. And a messy kitchen or messy becomes the context for how you view that person rather than messy or looking at cleaning the kitchen or having a clean kitchen, creating the context of living in a clean space. We actually did an exercise like that together where it was driving me crazy because he would leave kitchen cupboards open and things lying around. And
tornado.
Yeah. So I said, you know what I love? I love coming down to a clean kitchen in the morning. And I showed him kitchen doors open. Take a look. Kitchen doors closed. Now, which one do you like?
Yeah, so the kitchen, everything neatly put away, and then everything open, hanging out, visible, and so on. Now, I'm so in my head most of the time, it wouldn't have struck me, right? But when I saw that, and the key was Ava said, I love it when we have this. So she gave me something positive that I could actually impact. I could actually make the house look great in the morning. And so not every night, but often I will spend time, and I used to be never, would spend time making sure the kitchen is tidied up because I'm often with the ADHD up later and later to come to bed. So I know this is going to make her happy. On some level, I think part of me goes, this scores me brownie points. She's going to have, you know, some days she'll come down and it's so nice and tidy. She actually, she gets misty-eyed and just, oh, thank you. She knows what this means. And I know what it means to her. But rather than complaining about the way the house is, which is negative, but complaining that I'm failing to do this stuff, which for ADHD is just a nightmare, because guess what? I'm failing to do a million things, starting with paperwork, starting with, you know, being the dad I want to be. I can go down the list telling you all the areas of life I'm failing in. But to tell me, here's something you can do, and it means the world to me, and here's why, and I could see it. Golden. Now I've got this opportunity every day to give her happiness.
Yep.
And that, and when you're busy focused on bringing happiness to the other person, do I want to clean up mucky stuff? No. Do I want to have this gorgeous looking, you know, clean kitchen, tidy, neat? Yeah.
It's interesting because as I heard you tell that story, do I want to bring happiness to her? But in a weird kind of way, I was hearing bringing happiness to the relationship because it makes her for the kitchen to be good, but it also makes you feel good to do that for. Hence, the we part of you felt good about doing that kind of collectively. And I need to run to a break here in a second, but I'm trying to imagine this from the listeners outside tuning into this, saying, you know, what's this we plus in a great relationship? And so often I think we deal in the tactical type stuff, but I encourage you this. To kind of get this shift is if you really focus on the we, and I'll be thinking about this when we break, when we kind of come back, it's really, really, really pretty powerful. We're saying the words, and Ava and Rick, maybe we can all collectively kind of come back and kind of go back to this, because it's not being self-centered. It's focused on the we, which changes the story, which changes the expectations, which changes really the outcome long-term. So with that, I'm going to challenge you guys to think about that. Before we go to break, Ava, do you want to reiterate the special we got running here real quick for our listeners, and we'll go to break?
Absolutely. So the special that we have is on a downloadable video called Living with Adult ADD. It focuses on relationships. And right now, for the next 24 hours, if you go to totallyadd.com, it's 30% off, and you'll see you have to use a discount code, which is right on the landing page of totallyadd.com. You'll see the video cover of Living with Adult ADD. Right on the landing page,
yep.
And the discount code is there as well.
And I'm looking at it right now. It's exactly what's happening. So with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
You can't go off to school with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention at attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this great conversation about We Plus ADHD creating great relationships. And I want to digress here for a second. When I was in Detroit listening to Ava and Rick in a presentation very similar to some of the things that we were talking about, I really thought that what they were doing is really powerful, and I know that they had designs on trying to do something with some of these concepts, but I was really, really encouraging Ava and Rick to take this in a bigger scale, because I do think that and I'm not doing it totally justice tonight, because there's lots of material that some of the concepts and fundamentals that they have in working together as a relationship and helping other couples and some things that I learned really made a lot of sense. And I'm still listening to this, and I think I get this, and the words make all sense, but I'm trying to stand on the other side and say, I hear the words, and we've repeated a couple things, but there's some people who can say the words, but they don't really kind of get the concepts. And I want to take a little bit of a risk here, that one of the things that I remember that was brought up in my notes, Ava and Rick, at your presentation was you can't compete with reality. Reality is going to actually win. And if you actually think it's a certain way and you're self-centered in your mind, you're going to actually lose that battle to the we, the ultimate we. And I don't know if I'm off track or something like that, but I'm trying to find this like powerful thing to kind of get people to get the aha to realize if you focus on you, you're not going to live happily ever after. But if you focus on we and realize that's ultimately going to win, you can live happier ever after. So, I don't know. My thoughts?
Well, yeah. So what comes to mind is the classic. I know I've had so many girlfriends that do this. They all make up this list of what they want in a man. And what I saw in that was it's not the man you're looking for, it's the relationship you're looking for. So what Rick and I invite people to do is to make up a list of the traits and qualities you want in a relationship. So actually sit down, write down, you know, what the relationship is. You can do this if you're single, you know, the relationship that you want with in a partner, the relationship you want with a parent or a child. What the relationship is and the list of traits and qualities you want in that relationship. And even the act of doing that, you see the shift in the difference between writing down the traits and qualities you want in a person versus the traits and qualities you want in a relationship.
Yeah, and you're saying, I want a relationship that's growing. I want a relationship that's challenging. I want a relationship where I feel safe. I want a relationship where we, you know, you could say I want a relationship based on that has support. Well, that means I'm getting support, and guess what? I'm giving support. So it's how am I going to approach the relationship? I know so many people who will, you know, that thing of I want someone who has a sense of humor, and this is from someone who has absolutely no sense of humor. Or there was a woman who listed what she wanted in the guy, and it was all this long list. Basically, she said he has to look like Denzel Washington. And I thought, yeah, but, you know, that's, first of all, you've got to, you know, this woman, she's a great woman, but she was, I don't know, 200 pounds overweight. And it was like, you're expecting this someone else to be taking absolutely physical care of themselves, and you're not doing it for yourself. And that I think is when you say, here's what's going to be, these are the traits in the relationship. Well, I've got to be that then. I've got to be that for them. And it's not like suffering. It's like, you know, cleaning a kitchen. When you're doing it to make someone glow in the morning and brighten their day and all of these things that, to me, don't necessarily matter that much whether the kitchen doors are open or not, but it matters to Ava, so therefore it matters to me. Because as you said, Jeff, it's the relationship.
And Rick, I want an Ava.
Okay.
I want an Ava. Ava, I think for me, you nailed it. It's okay. Not about the man, it's about the relationships. And I don't know, forgive me, everybody, maybe you're not getting this, but I think it really makes some sense. If you sit down, and as you said, if you don't want somebody to look like Denzel Washington, Rick, you're looking at the traits of an individual. You're not taking a look at what you want out of a relationship, and that's a completely set of stuff. And when you look at what you want out of a relationship, I want a pressure-free relationship. That has nothing to do with the individual characteristics what you might see in terms of the traits, but it's what you want from the relationships, and thus – what you're looking for completely changes from maybe some those characteristics physically more to the types of characteristics you want in your relationship, which moves much closer to the we. So everybody out there, if you're not getting this, at least I am.
Oh, good. Well, then it becomes about not about someone else changing or someone else being something else. It's the impacting the relationship. How can you impact the relationship? Now you have a shared responsibility in that, or you look for a relationship where you can share, where someone wants the same things and you can share the responsibility in impacting that.
You could say, we want a relationship that has passion in it. And then you can look and go, well, why is he interested in trains? He's not interested. He's passionate. Why am I interested in gardening? I'm passionate about gardening. We have these things now. So there's the passion. There are aspects of this in every part of our relationship, just not necessarily in the bedroom. It's in every area. It's expanding. So I think we as human beings just naturally, and it's not, you know, nothing wrong with it, but it's something we do that doesn't necessarily serve us well. We look at physical and never get beyond. And I think this is why people look at Cary Grant and all of these beautiful celebrities and actually...
Oh, wow, you're really aging yourself.
Sorry. Well, whatever. And he hasn't made any films lately, the poor guy. Anyway, I don't know. But we look at... And then we're shocked to find out that they're human, that they... You know, not that he beat his wife, but all of the stuff that comes out. You know, they beat his wife, or she's this, or they're that. They're horrible people. And I've met some really beautiful celebrities, and they're average people, or some of them are actually not necessarily great human beings, but they are. Their face is such that when it's lit on camera, they look and they can fake emotion and all the rest of it. But we confuse that with great qualities. We see movie stars being passionate on the screen, and we think they must be passionate, or that's what passionate looks like. It has hair like that, skin like that, face like that. It's, you know, the clothing is torn exactly that way, and they're on a pirate ship, and we're stuck here in Cleveland. So we mistake the traits that we want, which is excitement, passion, that they're experiencing on the pirate ship with the, it has to look like that. It has to look like Johnny Depp or Reese Witherspoon. Was that better than Cary Grant?
Yes.
Okay, good. I could have said Diane Cannon and kind of bridged it, but I thought I'd. So that I think is a big issue is, you know, as Ava said, it's not the particular physical aspects or even necessarily the things we're going to do together, because that's setting you up for failure.
Well, and by writing down a list of what you want in a relationship, you know, I can't think of many other things in our lives where we just kind of, we choose someone that we're going to marry and then we just kind of let happenstance take over. There's no structure. You know, we couldn't do that in a job. We certainly wouldn't do that running a business. So by creating that list of, you know, what it is, the traits that you want in a relationship, now you have some structure and you have something to work toward. And sometimes they are small things and boring stuff and routine things like closing kitchen cupboards. But those are the things you build on. And Rick always says, you know, a trip to Paris doesn't just happen. There's steps to that. It doesn't kill the romance. It actually gives you, I think, a leg up on having more romance. How about you, Rick?
Yeah, and I think there's – I had something here, and I lost it too. But it's – it'll come back to me. But, yeah, absolutely. I mean, structure is everything. And it's in creating the – what you want in the relationship. So if you want, here's what it was. So some people, you might say that one partner wants security, financial security. I want a relationship that's security. And the other person may not quite understand what that means. And what they might say, we want to be able to do whatever we can. Oh, so financial freedom. So you start to figure it out. Now you, what will happen is, rather than we want financial freedom, what they're saying instead is, I want you to cut back on spending and save more. And the other partner's going, you need to earn more. So we have more money. One is coming and saying, let's cut our costs. The other one is saying, let's increase our income. They both want the same thing, which is financial freedom, security, the freedom to do whatever. But they're in a fight now over whether one of them's going to work longer hours or and therefore have the money to do the things they love to do, or the other one, we're going to save and not do as many of the things or find cheaper alternatives. Once you understand what the core value is underneath that, you can find common ground, and then you can say, okay, how are we going to get this? One way is for me to work longer. That means we won't see each other as much. That means, is that what we want for the relationship? And for us, is my relationship with my kids and my relationship with friends and all of that? Or can we cut back on expenses, which we could actually turn into an adventure, turn into a game to see how much we could, whatever.
You can't even have those conversations until you start identifying what it is that you want from a relationship.
And it's never what you want on the surface. You have to keep, so when someone, you know, people come into doctor's offices saying, I feel lousy, I feel bad. And with ADHD, I'm editing a video today that we're working on, and nobody walks in the doctor's office and says, Dr. Margaret Weiss said, nobody comes in saying, I have ADHD. They come in saying, I'm struggling, I'm not doing well, I'm on the verge of being fired, or my third marriage is ending, or whatever it is, and they don't know why. So it's on the surface, you always have to look underneath, what is it you really want? What is it that you're doing? You know, you look at a teacher and say, why are you driving to school? Because I'm a teacher. And why did you pick teaching? Well, because, I like kids. Well, why do you like kids? Well, because they're the hope of the future. Well, why do you care about the future? Because I want the world to be a better place. So now, let me get this straight. You're driving to school today because you're going to make the world a better place and impact 30 lives, which will go out and impact thousands. Oh, yeah, I never thought of that. That when you get to the core values of what matters,
yes,
you actually can... You can end up being really moved by who you are or who the person you're with is or everybody who's driving to work this morning or this evening or the night shift. And you can look at those people and go, they're doing something they may not love, but there's a bigger context.
Yep,
and that's
yep,
what Ava's talking about with the context.
It is really big. And we've got a limited time, and I want to share just a coaching tool for everybody out there that is – you listen to some of these things and you try to like, okay, how do I kind of go forward on this? And I learned this from somewhere else, but I've had some success. It doesn't work for everybody. But when you're in a relationship, imagine yourself as a country. Say that Rick is France. France has got its own terrain.
Oui.
It's got its culture. It's got its ethnicity. It's got its climate. It's got its food. It's got its politics, all that kind of stuff. And let's assume Ava's from, I don't know, Australia, and it's got its own climate, politics, culture, et cetera. And you're most individual countries, when you get together, you're actually leaving both of your countries and you're forming a new country. And the notion of that is what is it that I would like to import, or excuse me, export to the new country, and what is it I'd like to see the other person import, and what wouldn't necessarily be there? And realize that as you form this new country, you're forming your own new that country, its own culture, its own climate, its own politics, its everything, and coming together. So it's not all about you. It's about that coming together. And it's funny when I worked with people on some of that stuff before, and you talk about something as simple as Thanksgiving dinner in the United States. You know, one person came, I dated a girl one time where they had to have apples in the stuffing of the dressing, and I was like, apples? We didn't necessarily do that, but it was imported into the country, into our terms of our relationship. And it's funny because when you begin to view your relationship in that type of a context, you're moving to the we, and it can be
very,
very powerful. And you actually, it's interesting because when you put it in that context, one person said to me, it's funny, now that I'm dating and I'm thinking of terms of that, I'm looking at the other person as they come over and we date, and I'm observing them and saying, are they being a real good tourist in my country? Because if they don't, if they disrespect my my country, then I'm concerned about the we part of what's going on. It was just an interesting kind of comment. But for some of you out there that are listening and you need like something kind of tangible to think about to put in context, again, it's not, it doesn't, this metaphor doesn't work for everybody, but it can be very, very helpful. And I think it really highlights that notion of moving not from you or the other person or what I want, but to the we. We're going to form our own new country. So I've only got a second or two left, but I just want to give Ava thoughts on that concept.
I love that concept, and that's really what it is. You're creating something new, and you're creating it together in every relationship. So that's a really powerful metaphor for me. That's really struck a bell. So yeah, I love that.
Rick, your thoughts?
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, you can't change the other person, and you don't want someone trying to change you. Now, you may change, but you can change your relationship every day, and you can bring something to your relationship. And that's what's so great, is you can bring something to it. You can do something. The other, trying to change the other person, that's just a no-win. They are who they are, and they've got these. What you want them is to become exactly more of who they are, so they can really flourish at what they are. And I, you know, we're coming to the end here. I can offer a couple of quick suggestions or tips, you know, because
yep,
we all love to have the. Because one of the key in any relationship is the level of communication. If you can say anything to someone, you got a great relationship, right? And if you can't say things, oh, I can't tell my mom that, or I can't say that to my kids, or whatever, there's limits. But when you communicate with ADHD, I always say for the non-ADHD partner, make sure you have their attention first, because we can appear to be listening. And one of the things that Ava used to do was just say, can you go upstairs and get that, Rick? And I'd hear my name, what? And the sentence was gone, whereas Rick, could you go up there and get, putting my name, it's simple, but putting my name first made a difference in the level of my ability to hear. Another thing I think for the non-ADHD partner is to completely educate themselves as much as they can about ADHD. The danger, of course, is that you can go, well, this is now their limits. I understand my partner's limits. And you don't want to do that. We all know those studies where they tell a teacher, two teachers, this group of kids are gifted and these kids are very slow. It's actually two average classes. But by Christmas, the gifted kids are scoring way higher and the slow kids are, the whole class are slowing, mm-hmm. are scoring much lower because the teacher's beliefs bring that out. So that I think is a really powerful thing. And the final is with ADHD, with a partner who has ADHD, you cannot acknowledge success too often because so seldom do we acknowledge it ourselves. We finish what we're doing and we rush to the next thing. That's certainly an aspect for me. You know, I've made 700 episodes of radio and television and rarely watched them. And that, because I was on to the next one, making the next one, the next one. And you want to be able to acknowledge the successes and acknowledge your partner's successes and celebrate them. And that's your present.
Yeah, as a coach, we spend so much time about the difference between a human doing and a human being. So often those with ADHD, they do it, and then they go to bed to live the fight another day, and they just do, and they never stop and actually be and enjoy it. And for somebody to acknowledge that, for you to stop and actually enjoy and be the success can be very, very powerful.
Yeah.
So with that, Ava, Rick, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on the show. It's been spectacular. Ava, one last time for our special out there.
Sure. So the specialist, well, first of all, Jeff, thank you for having us. It's been a great pleasure for us to be on. It's so wonderful. I love your show. So thank you for what you do. So the special is Living with Adult ADD. If you go to totallyadd.com, you'll see it right on the landing page. Please use the discount code that's there. You'll get 30% off, and the video is all about relationships and ADHD in a relationship.
And is the discount code right there?
The discount code is on the landing page.
Okay, it's three letters, I believe. So
yeah.
Very cool.
And if you're listening to the show,
yeah?
Go ahead, Rick.
I just want to say I didn't want to be here, but I figured I'd better be here for our relationship. It would be better. So I wanted that out there.
Yeah, well, just everybody out there, if you're listening to the show in our archives after this date, please go to Totally AD. There's lots of great information and resources. With that, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.